Even though you know I'd die for you, Nuggets.
Cozy.
It's the Nuggets taking a tough L.
Ooh.
Ryan Garcia said, what? And ding dong, these Nuggets are going to Abu Dhabi. All on a Russell Wilson hating sports talk radio masterpiece creating Role Play Wednesday edition of the program. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious.
It's here.
What it do, baby?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Mic'd up. Let's ride.
Take it easy on that seagull.
Where is she?
Man, the show we got for you guys today. Alex is back. Don't worry. Gordon's good. I like Gordon.
Good guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude. How was your stuff yesterday?
It was good. It was fun. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Walk off?
There.
Was there a close? It was like a 3-2 game? What about?
Yeah. Yeah, they scored the go-ahead run on a balk. On a balk of all things.
Hey, that reminds me of the walk-off balk podcast you guys had. The walk-off balk.
Walk.
The other coach was like, balk!
Where have I seen the walk-off walk podcast again? It's on my clipboard.
Whoa. Yay. Did Andrew still do that or is Andrew
hopefully,
fired?
Hopefully going to make a return.
Really?
Haven't talked to the guy in a while.
I think
he's getting married. Getting
this
married,
one's for Detmer.
He's getting married.
Yeah. To a girl?
Whoa.
To the woman.
To the woman of my dreams.
Yeah.
Well, look what it did to Jake Meyer.
We got a lot of good stuff for you guys today. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate you guys. 303-831-1340 is the hotline, as well as the text line. It's both at the same time. We want to hear from you guys. Hit them up. 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3, right?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't feel right. 107.5 HD3. Yeah, stream us. That's or watch us at milehighsports.com. Radio on demand tab while you're there. We'll get you podcasted versions of our previous works.
You know, it was funny. Yesterday, I parked at the King Supers. I was going to get some food to crock pot some pork. And I get out and I shut my door and I hear Nate Lundy's voice in the car right next to me doing some commercial about, you know, some stuff.
What station?
Mile High Sports. The guy was a guy must have been a Gil Whiteley fan. And here's what I suspected. Because when I got back to my truck, same guy is in the car right next to me. Same sitting there still.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our channel anymore. So what I suspected is this guy in the King Supers parking lot, you call us. 303-831-1340. Tell me the truth.
No way.
He's a Smile High guy. And then he kind of remembered about 15 minutes into Whiteley that he's like, I love Cooper. And this is Whiteley. No, just kidding.
You can't handle the truth.
It was funny, yeah.
Wow, who are you, friend?
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Cool. Okay, so the Nuggets.
The slow start.
Weird one last night. Got to be big picture thinkers here, you know, with these guys.
What'd you like about it?
They had some fight in them on a night when Jokic didn't really have his best stuff. And some nights the Nuggets kind of lean on him to do absolutely everything until someone else that can find kind of some help. And they got so many great options and he makes it so easy for guys. He helps get guys off or going. That didn't sound right. But yeah, that's what kind of Jokic does. And they played.
You got to love that they got the lead in that game. I mean, from being in a spot where they were to fighting back and getting that lead, even the end of the third quarter interview there with Malone was like, now we're playing Nuggets basketball. That to me, I kind of like wore that as a little badge of honor. Like, no, yeah, that's right. That is what Nuggets basketball looks like. And let's do it again.
Night. Grayson Allen will never go for 28 points ever again, like in his career. Like, it was just, you know, Durant looked like vintage Durant.
Yeah, but think about this. If Durant
Nurkic had 30 rebounds two nights ago or like three nights ago, right?
31 rebounds.
So he's kind of feeling himself. You know what I mean? And, you know, it matters to him. That game mattered to him. And he came out and gave you, you know, 7, 12, and 6.
That's brutal.
No, that's okay.
He played great defense.
Nurkic?
Nurkic was good last night.
Played great defense for a guy who got 7 fouls.
And then Bradley Beal did exactly what I thought he would do for this guy. No, 16-6-6.
He's good.
I mean,
he's nice.
He was.
You know what? Think about this. If Kevin Durant does not swish that 3-pointer to tie the game in the fourth quarter, let's say that rattles out and the Nuggets win. It's a 9-point quarter they held an NBA team to. Because that went in, it was a 12-point quarter, right? But, I mean, and Durant was due, man. Everything was going in and out. He was getting any shot he wanted from the elbow, from the field, and he couldn't get it to land. But then once he hit that one in overtime, then the thing was pretty much
25-16-5 from Joker, 28-7-9 from Jamal, and 20-7 from Michael Jr. Porter. That's your three best players really having great nights. And not great nights, but good nights, good enough to win. That one meant something like for
to everybody.
The Suns.
I think it meant something to everybody.
No, it doesn't mean nothing to the Nuggets at all. At all.
No?
Not, they've won a championship. They're like, all the things that used to not matter before.
You're saying it doesn't mean anything for those guys to win that game.
No, because it's like now you've been grinding, you're working paycheck to paycheck, and then finally you get that big, you know, job, and you still can't believe it now 2 or 3 years later. All the things you used to worry about, you do not have to worry about anymore because you've reached a new echelon in life, and that's what the Nuggets have done. Yeah, Jeff!
Kevin Durant's won plenty of championships.
Hey, you think they're worried about the freaking Suns? Give me a break. It's the last hurrah for Kevin Durant. Bradley Beal's career is on. He's running on fumes.
Booker wasn't even playing.
Grayson Allen went for 28 points, and that's really it. They're not a threat at all. They won't make it out of the first. They might not make it out of the first round. Shoot. You think the Nuggets worried about the Suns? Don't think so.
They're matched up against the Suns right now. If the playoffs were to have start today, that'd be the 3-6 leading the 7-8 to play in that playoff game or play-in game. But 3-6 would be Suns Nuggets. What do you think of that?
I'd be cool with that.
You'd be cool with that.
They got no bench. They can't run with the Nuggets. They had an all-time night from a role player.
Don't eat that. Whatever you do, don't eat that.
They don't have a point guard. I think that is going to hurt them in the playoffs. They don't have a true point guard on the team. And especially in the fourth quarter, they're not a good fourth quarter
team. Do the Nuggets have a point guard? Because they won a championship
without
one.
Reggie Jackson is definitely a true point guard.
Reggie Jackson?
And Jamal Murray, I mean, he plays a lot of points.
Jokic is a point guard.
He's a point center.
What's a point guard do?
What's his point guards?
Set up and distribute. Assist and not turnover. And do it with a little pizzazz.
Have you seen enough of 22 yet? I think I've seen enough of Zeke Nagy. I don't need much more.
I'm not sure why they paid him the money.
I don't need much more Nagy time. I'd rather see some cat they just drafted go out there and give his best effort.
Yeah, me too. Give me young dude.
Nagy ain't it.
Now, Nagy ain't it.
Right?
No. He ain't it.
Take that for data. Something about him makes it seem he's like trying, but he's not, and then he's not trying.
The Suns had to play a perfect game to beat the Nuggets.
Oh, they had it, dude. The Nuggets had that.
The Suns had to play a perfect game to beat the Nuggets, and they did. The Nuggets did not play a perfect game.
Well, it's
the Nuggets had a B minus effort out there. That's some of their B minus C plus stuff.
I watched the beginning, and then I put the kids to bed, made dinner, all that stuff, and I flipped it on. So for me, when I flipped it back on when they were down 16, they did play a perfect game. The Nuggets played what could only be described as a perfect game. They took a 3-point lead from when I saw them down 16. They took a 3-point lead with under 30 seconds to go. The last play of the game, Jokic, little runner to his left side, like a little flailing.
What's a flailing?
I already did that joke. Sorry. Shoot. I didn't love that. I didn't really love that at all. I mean, I liked that he had the ball. I feel like he had a matchup he liked, but I don't know if the running, you know, I'd almost rather have him do a fadeaway one-legged three-point, the soundboard shuffle.
Yeah, like to end the first quarter that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to the running kind of that was, I don't know. And then if you think about it, if he would have shot it a half second earlier, somehow, some way, Gordon was right there to dunk that thing in. The dunk to win the game was off it was off by a split second.
303-831-1340, the hotline as well as the text line. Let's go to break on time.
As usual.
If you're new to the show, guy in parking lot at King Supers.
Yeah, that's on Monaco and Leedsdale. No, that's the Leeds in Monaco. That's
that's your home one.
Oh, yeah.
A little more hood.
Right there by GW. Oh, yeah. That's my crew.
Well, I like that one. That King Super a little more street than that preppy Glendale one, right?
Oh, the Glendale one. That's the one where they put the booze and stuff.
Yeah.
That's where they put the liquor.
They got a lot of fancy cheeses in that one.
Oh, man. Only the finest.
Okay.
Which is funny. Glendale, I don't think, has got any homes in it. I'm going to praise it, right?
You got to appraise. Praise. What do you mean there's no homes in Glendale?
There's no homes.
All
there's
those apartments over there?
I think there's condos.
They got lots of apartments over there.
And then apartments. Yeah, but you don't own an apartment. Like, anything that
is
says.
Is Gil in Glendale?
I don't think so. I think he's at, like, Colorado and 25.
Turn it up a little bit. Damn, I love this one. This is,
Bowling for Soup, of course.
No, this one is the fun one, a fun band. This is, Glass Elephant.
Why do you always guess that? That's a terrible guess. It's not even a band.
It is a band.
It's like it is, but it's not. No.
It's a great band. Who is it?
All-American Rejects.
All-American. That would have been a good guess, because it was right. But like this whole Glass Elephants thing, you got to give it up.
You almost said Avril Lavigne. It's a guy. This is a guy. Danny Williams, Jeff Gersh.
Why always got to make fun of me?
He's a meanie.
He's a meanie.
We missed you yesterday, Alex.
Hope it went well. It went well.
My brother. We're living together right now. We're getting our lives together. Back on the other side. It's Motley Sports. Would have been to play them, and I'd have hit it. You know?
Oh, they are a thing. I thought this was a made-up group.
Is this Cage the Elephant?
No.
That's a good guess, no?
No.
Oh, shoot.
Why is that better than mine? Cage the Elephant has like one hit on KBCO. Only we play it. No one's ever heard of these guys.
They got a couple. They brought out a
elephants
second
or whatever it is. They got...
No,
according to Jake Meyer, grew his hair out for that band, and he's never looked back since. Got married, a kid, the whole thing. Glass Animals changed his life forever. Well, anyways,
I don't believe that.
Okay, let's get into. Do you have the I hate your guts stuff? Sean Payton hates Russell Wilson stuff from Harry Douglas. Harry Douglas. Harry, who's the guy who came to the
Harry
game?
Styles?
He didn't catch no passes. He come to the game and just chopped guys from behind. I got the same agent as him. That's why when I see his ass in Atlanta.
Sorry, player.
Who is
this? Come to the game, don't catch no passes. Come to the game to chop.
Oh, Harry Douglas.
He's talking about Harry Douglas.
Harry Douglas.
No, he's talking about the receiver. Is Harry Douglas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Former Falcon and Titan, Harry Douglas.
Okay. You didn't hear his comments on. He said, "Man, it was strong. It was wild." That Sean Payton hates Russell Wilson. He hates him. Hate.
Yeah.
And
drinking out of Buck's nasty's mama's dish. Silka Johnson. Yeah. Wear one of them underwears with a pee hole in front.
Better show some respect, Buck Nasty. One of those may could be a great, great granddaddy.
Damn. Silky Johnson.
I would love to stay, but I got to go home and fill up Buck and Nestor's mama's dish.
It was Harry Douglas.
Yeah.
Said it was a match made in hell.
Yes.
Nice.
But to, you know, go out there and say on ESPN, you know, a network like that to, you know, well, the word hate, threw it around about 4, 5, or 6 times. I know Alex can find it by the end of the show.
Oh, I have it here.
Oh, let's play it then. Whenever you're ready,
right,
tell me.
Minute 21 on this?
Yeah, let's do it.
I got time.
from what I witnessed from Sean Payton when it came to Russell Wilson since the moment he got there, and then when we got the news yesterday that he was going to be released of his duties, and the $85 million cap hit that they're going to be taking on, they didn't only dislike Russell Wilson. In my eyes, and you see on their screen right now, Sean Payton, the way he treated Russell Wilson as well, he hated Russell Wilson. And I think that was evident to see. You go to somebody during the season and ask them to take a get rid of their injury clause in their contract, and you still have an opportunity to contend for the playoffs. That don't tell me that you like that human being. You have a franchise quarterback, and you publicly, you know, humiliate him on TV in front of the world. That doesn't tell me you like him. It tells me you might hate him. And then you're willing to take on that $85 million in cap hit by cutting Russell Wilson. I just think it was a match made in hell for the Denver Broncos and also Russell Wilson by joining Sean Payton and connecting those two together. And the way Russell Wilson played last year, it was evident if he was on the Atlanta Falcons, hell, they would have made the playoffs. If he was on the Pittsburgh Steelers, they would have been better at the quarterback position. If he was with the New England Patriots, they would have been better at the quarterback position. So I don't think Russell Wilson deserved a lot of the treatment that he got from the Denver Broncos organization.
All right, Jeff. Does Sean Payton hate Russell Wilson? There's other stuff, too, that I heard in the last couple of days, that Sean Payton didn't want Russell calling Drew Brees so much, and just a bunch of little things like that that really, for some reason or another, rub Sean Payton the wrong way. Do you guys think that Sean Payton hated Russ?
I think Sean Payton hated
he
coaching.
Didn't like him.
Hated coaching
but
Russ.
Why would you hire a guy as your head coach if you know he's not going to get along with the quarterback and like him? It doesn't make any sense.
No. It does. Because
money doesn't matter to these guys. No. They wanted to get the coach right. They got the coach wrong, and maybe they got the quarterback right.
But then you're sacrificing. You got to find another quarterback.
Russ had already failed. And part of the negotiation with Sean Payton was Sean Payton said, I will come in and try to make it work with Russ, but I'm not tied to Russ. Let's be very clear. I am not tied to Russ, and he is not my guy. I didn't bring him here. I likely wouldn't have brought him here. Here's some reasons why. And if I can make it work, I'll give it the old college try and see if we can, you know, make it work. And if not, I'm going to, you know, part of this here, all these years in this contract, I want the opportunity to bring in my own, groom my own, draft my own, sign my own quarterback. That was discussed day one. He didn't come here for Russ. He came here for the Broncos. And actually, it was a little bit of house money there, Alex, because if you do make it work with Russ, well, then we're playing with some gravy a little bit. We got some gravy on, and we're playing some house money. If it doesn't work with Russ, which they're 8-9, I'd say almost did work with Russ, then you have the leverage, the leeway, the say to move on from the guy. Does that change anything about the way you think?
A little bit. You know,
I just don't think he liked coaching Russ, and I'm not sure, you know, as much as Russell Wilson is a talented football player, he's a different dude.
Let's be like a realistic life stuff, okay? You ever like, there's dudes in every setting, no matter where you are, what you do, who you are, they just kind of rub you the wrong way. They just rub you the wrong way, and you're not going to give them the benefit of the doubt. You're actually going to be kind of harsher, harder on them, whether it be a kid you coach, Jeff, or his parent, or a teacher, someone here in the office, really any circumstance. Sometimes someone just kind of rubs you the wrong way. And, you know, therefore you're over it right away. You don't really give them a chance. You just kind of, you know, first impression is sometimes everything, and you never let that go. I think that's Russ played against Sean Payton along a lot of times too. And Russ beat Sean Payton. Quite a bit.
The legendary Tyler Palumbus Marshawn Lynch game.
We don't know something along the way of the history of that relationship. If there are such great enemies on the field, that it's something that Sean Payton can't really get over as well.
$85 million in dead cap. He must really hate this guy.
I'm pulling some.
Really can't work with him.
All the
gold.
Have you heard that one yet? Have you heard that one yet? Just tell me.
No, haven't.
No, we hadn't heard that one. No one said that,
that
one.
That they hated him from past experiences.
Well, they played against each other for 10 years.
That would
Russ,
be like...
They competed against us for eight. Russ took away... Sean Payton might think Russ took away a championship or two from him. He might really believe that. He might freaking hate Pete Carroll's guts. And as an extension is Russell Wilson. And he, you know, never in the world did I think I'd be working with this guy. And if I don't have to, you know, I'm not. So, man, I just got so many tricks up my sleeve, Alex.
So what's the solution to make Sean Payton stop hating?
Give it his own. He said it a million times.
Stidham?
I believe when Bill Parcells this, Bill Parcells that. He comes in, he strips the whole freaking thing down to the studs. Puts his own carpet in, his own paint on the walls. He don't, you know, just kind of, oh, this room is there. Let's leave this one as it is. Let's leave, this is a successful position group. Let's leave this one as it is. No, Bill Parcells has never done that. And he's an all-time great. And Sean Payton views that as the right way. And Sean Payton now is an older man. And you're not going to change any old man's train of thought.
Wow, you're something today.
I don't know. That I'm giving some good promo stuff. I don't know if Danny Bailey's listening or not. Last time we did
this. Oh, he's cutting a Goodman right now.
Oh. Well, when you're done with that Goodman stuff around 2 or 3 o'clock today.
You just gotta cut that one at the beginning and then cut it at the end.
Do you wanna just send Danny Bailey that whole segment and just be like, here's send that to the Marconi guys too?
Oh yeah.
Did you see what Carl Mecklenburg said about Russell Wilson?
I did see
that was pretty strong and kind of from the top rope.
go ahead.
There's plenty to that, though. Yeah, I like it. Read it.
Russell Wilson isn't a leader. The foolishness that went on in his first year in Denver with the private coach, his own office at the facility, and family at training camp when other players didn't have those privileges proved his self-centeredness. So Broncos Ring of Famer. You think he's just defending the organization or he really has it out for Russell Wilson?
I think there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, it's hard to be a great leader when it's like, well, these rules are for thee, but not for me. That's classic. And I mean, even when you see it in politics, doesn't it bother you when you see stuff in politics that it's like, well, you're saying that we can't, you know, we're supposed to wear a mask and we can't go on planes, but you're flying to Florida and not wearing a mask. Rule seems like you're making it for the pesky little patrons, but not the elites. And that stuff always bothers me when you act like you're elite. And it's hard to be a leader when you're better than those you're supposed to be equal to.
Yeah, that was a bad start. Remember, he was wearing his own jersey to training camp.
Oh, bro, he started that thing out. He was and the commercials and the...
Yeah, he got off to a bad start.
And he had a media team with him.
But at the same time, I feel like his teammates like him. His teammates had a lot of good things to say about him, especially on the offensive side. So...
Well, listen.
It depends on who you talk
Alex,
to.
Alex, hate to go there and be like this. But Carl Mecklenburg and I are great friends. Here's the last thing that was said to each other between Carl and I right here. Can you read that last text between Carl and I, Jeff? What does it say there?
Thanks, Danny. Everything was first class. First class. Up in the gym, I'm doing first class.
I don't know. I know Carl a little bit. Helped arrange a couple things for Carl. Made Carl a lot of money. Okay, we're business partners in a sense, and I appreciate the guy, but I think he actually kind of has it not all wrong, but wrong, because if he wanted an office, he doesn't want an office to play Call of Duty and video games and get away from the wife and kids. He's in the office breaking film and doing extra credit. This is extra work he was willing to put in, okay? This sounds ridiculous now, but in Seattle, and then even with Nathaniel Hackett, Russ literally put his own game plan together. His own game plan. He would build a game plan just like the coaches would and give it to the, you know, the coaches each week. Here's what I see. Here's what I think. And it's unique in a lot of ways. So Carl Mecklenburg needs to understand that Russ was really good to his teammates, even when some kind of turned against him, you know, and he's never said a bad word on anybody. And there's something to be said about that. Carl Mecklenburg played with John Elway, okay? And John Elway was famous for, he'd go sit with the receivers one day in the corners another day, and he'd, you know, he was the everyman. John is different. And that's probably what Carl Mecklenburg thinks is, you know, appropriate. But Russell Wilson didn't really do anything wrong besides want to do a lot of extra work. And whether it's, you think it was necessary or not, he never had a chance to make it work here with Nathaniel Hackett. It was never going to work.
This is a classic Douglas County elite here sticking up for
and
the other, you know, elites in the world.
And Sean,
while us blue-collar appraisers out here are going door-to-door, grinding it out, trying to be like the everyman.
And Sean Payton never gave Russ a chance.
Russ Wilson is not the everyman.
Russ almost screwed Sean Payton by winning too much.
Russ tries to distance himself from everyman.
If Russ won too much, then, like, the pressure that the franchise and Penner would put on him to bring it back... To bring him back.
If Russ
would have,
won
if
too
Russ
much.
Won, goes to the if playoffs.
If Russ won too
the,
much. Good
hey,
one.
If Russ goes to the playoffs, wins one or two more games, Alex, he's coming back next year no matter what. Whether Sean likes it or not. Because you're paying him and he just took you to the playoffs. Before he did that, Sean Payton was going to see to it that Russ didn't do that. And so, maybe sabotaged him.
So you've been drinking he knew that. From the very start, he was Russell Wilson...
Sean Payton probably sabotaged Russell Wilson.
Easy there, flat earther.
Whoa. And Russ went out there despite this game plan. What's he doing? This and that. And why? What happened to the old Sean Payton?
Yeah, he wanted Sean
creative.
Payton. He wanted him as his head coach.
Well, of course, because he was, you know, there's he's not petty like Sean Payton's being with Russ.
So I'm confused. So
about what? You shouldn't be. I'm very much painting a picture here for you, and it's a masterpiece. Tell me what? What doesn't make sense?
So you're pro Russ here? Russ got dogged. Russ got jobbed. Russ got.
I think we're just saying dissed. What Mecklenburg said was kind of out of line and not true.
I think Carl Mecklenburg is.
What was untrue about it?
Carl Mecklenburg's probably like 70 years old.
Read it again. What was untrue about it? What was untrue about what Carl Mecklenburg tweeted?
Read it one more time.
All right, he said he isn't a leader, which...
Horrible take. He's a great
leader. Don't agree
with. He's an incredible leader.
The foolishness that went on in his first year with Denver with the private coach, his own office at the facility, and family at training camp.
Stop. Private coach, Tom Brady. Remember that guy?
Yeah, Bill Belichick
didn't
like that.
Every last guy has one.
They got rid of his.
Every last guy has one. Every quarterback that's worth a damn has one of these guys. And if you're a young one, you'll get one if you're good.
Right. Well, he did have it with them in Seattle, so it's not like this was a new thing in Denver.
After that first thing, then what?
And then he said his own office at the facility and family at training camp when other players didn't have those privileges proved his self-centeredness.
Family at training camp. He went to training camp in a college. They went to Greeley and didn't see a family member for a month or more. And they were grinding 2-a-days. Don't hate because of what, you know, how the game is played.
So you're
today.
On Russell. You're on pro. You're team Russell, though. Right?
Not really.
Sean
kind of. I'm just don't.
Sean
agree
hated
with
him
take.
From back in his Seattle days. Russell's a good leader. Russell's, you know, getting talked down to, and you don't appreciate it.
I think
if he would have won more, he'd still
enough.
Be here.
I think the Broncos were this close to going to the playoffs, and if you're this close to going to the playoffs, if you don't start the season 1-5, then you probably do go to the playoffs. So Jeff, if they're 10-7,
so why didn't they make the playoffs?
Give me Russ's
Russ
numbers one
Sean?
More time.
Russ or Sean?
Give me. 26 touchdowns, 7 picks?
8 picks.
26 touchdowns, 8 picks. They shut him down for the last 2 games. That would be 30 touchdowns on 9 interceptions. That's 30 touchdowns on 9 interceptions? That's your Kirk Cousins? That's elite. That's 30 is the magic number. We're knocking on the front door of the top 5 numbers in the league. That's despite these tight ends, these receivers, this offense, all that kind of stuff. Russ was really not the problem this year. Sean Payton just thinks he can do better. And be careful what you wish for, because you just might get a Jameis or a Taysom Hill or a Garrett Grayson or a Teddy Bridgewater or any other guys who are not Drew Brees and he couldn't really win with. You know who you can win with and it's proof you can win at the highest level? Russell Wilson. You probably should have done a little better job of trying to make it work because we know who and what we got. The smart move would have been to bring Russ back, pay him the money, draft a quarterback super duper high, let that young stud outplay Russ and prove it, and let this young guy see Russ how to work as a professional, a high-end professional every single day. Those are things you want a young quarterback to take from Russ. All of that kind of stuff. And Russ is the one guy who wouldn't have treated this guy like crap, would have put him under his wing and welcome him and help him and been telling us, well, you never know when a guy's going to have to come play a game. And, you know, we want all the guys to be up for the challenge. And we're a team here. And we're the ultimate goal is winning a championship. Freaking Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, a lot of guys, even Payton, wouldn't even give his backups a rep, a touch in practice. Russ,
you're a big, right? You're like Russ, Danny Merrillat today.
I'm not saying Russ is like the answer, but Sean Payton didn't really give Russ a chance.
So the problem is not Russ.
Probably not.
So what's the problem? What's the problem?
The problem is that Sean Payton is an egomaniac.
It's Coach Payton.
It's a power trip, and he's going to see to it that he has all the control. Russ might have had a little too much sway and say and power over players and this and that, and he didn't want anyone to be bigger than this or that as well.
You know what we should do is,
Coach, what's up, player?
Coach Z, there he is.
Let's go to break, and we'll get this stuff set up here. What were you going to say?
No, I think you nailed it, though. I think Coach is an egomaniac.
Yeah, I think, to be a superstar,
it's hard to pin it on a guy like Russ.
You got to kind of live in an alternate universe a little bit. You got to kind of think crazy stuff like, I am built different. I am less than a god, but more than a man type of stuff.
That's like what you think, like, because you're a superstar.
I do think a little bit of that kind of stuff. But so that's the same thing goes for a head coach, especially at that level where, like, you know, he thinks I can manipulate the game and I'm in so much control because you are. No, you know, a baseball coach, you're out there, you do a little bit of this, you do a little bit of this type of stuff, and you make a couple, you know, switches out on some players at certain times in the game. You bring in a reliever. A football coach, you do everything. You're literally doing everything out there, from coaching these guys up to every play call to every, you know, defense you put out there. And we'll talk about it more on the other side of Smelly Sports. Our reflections clearly in Hollywood, laying on the screen. You just need a better life than this. You need something I can never give. Fake God. We are back in with the friend of the show.
We got Coach Z Martinez.
Yo.
I think birth name is Zarek, right? But I'm just going with Coach Z. I love that.
Coach Z, how are you, brother?
Blessed. How are you guys?
Man, oh man.
Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having us.
Living the dream. Look at this legendary, these belts we got in here. These things are 20 pounds at least.
These belts are pretty incredible. What are these belts for? Tell people who don't remember last time you were here.
So
what you guys do.
After every turnover, after every touchdown, man, the kids get to grab them right on the sideline, right after they do it, and they're celebrating. We get the whole team.
It's
involved.
Funny, yeah. It's,
you go to our Facebook or our website, and you'll see right off there. There was a score, and there's kids celebrating with the belt right there.
One of the fun things I remember from last year is that, you know, when we were filming the games with Coach GTV and with all the guys we had, was that the coaches themselves would be a little kind of perturbed. A little kind of irked that we were interviewing their players.
Why?
Because they wanted them back on the field playing them both ways. Deep down, we kind of mentioned to the coaches, hey, this is, you know, we're going to have some challenges. This is going to be fun. And so, you know, but you'd have a coach go, hey, you know, where's Martinez? We need him back here. You know, and we got Jack Jones hitting him with, like, what'd you have for breakfast this morning? Damn, player, you're unreal. Yeah. So it was fun to see. And those kids, man, when you gave them one of them belts and you could see them just light up, like, man, they felt like Superman. You know, because whatever they did was already awesome, and then they get the shine, plus they get the
little swag, you
know, they get the interview and all that.
Yep.
And we do it five times in one day.
The one in the misconception is they get to keep the belt after the game.
they do not
get to keep the belt. They could buy the belt. We could sell you the belt.
Yeah,
that's
we can get
easy.
Belts.
Hey, even Hogan and Ric Flair got to give that belt up if Ravishing Rick Rude comes and, you know, takes that from them or whatever. But thanks for being here. What's different or what's going to be new this time around now that you guys have done this and you know what it takes? Because last time, you know, the production and everything seemed like you guys have been putting this on for years and years. You guys did a really good job last year.
I think we knocked it out of the park and we set the level and the expectation very, very high. Everybody asked me that. What are you going to do new? Well, this time new, we're going to be up at CU Boulder.
Location, baby.
There is a little bit of a snafu that's going on. I think somebody is trying to sell tickets to the stadium, Folsom Field. The game is actually going to be indoors on their indoor turf field, just so weather permitting, we're good to go.
That, which is brilliant, by the way. And last year when we were indoors at the Bronco facility, it was It was snowing outside, raining outside. So, yeah, it as much as we want to be outdoors, and there will be practice down below on the lower fields.
Yeah, we will practice outdoors each day.
Game day is in the indoor training facility. And don't be, you know, if someone's offering you tickets to Folsom.
That's wrong.
Pass on those.
They're scalping for this
they're
event?
They're scalping the event. It's great. It's awesome.
Cool. Where do they get tickets? Are there still some available?
Still available. You just go online, go to our website, www.ColoradoYouthFootballInvitational.com, all spelled out. And
easy.
Yeah, follow the links.
All right. Man, that is sweet.
We got 3 practices this year. So last year, I think everybody got 2.
Yeah.
This year, we went 3. So that everybody's going to practice all at the same time, all at the bottom field.
Those fields are sweet.
And, you know, we got 1 little turf field, so we can kind of share that a little bit with other teams as they were like, let's see what turf field's like, right?
Yeah.
But everybody's going to practice at one time. Schedule is out. It is officially out. I got the message about that yesterday. So, yeah, go online. It's there. But 4 to 6 practice on Friday. Saturday practice from 9 to 11. A.M. Mm-hmm. And then they'll get a little break. They can do the CU tours.
Yeah, the athletic facility tours are going from 11 to 1:30. That's pretty sweet. You want to make sure you get in on that, though. Like, don't just show up and think you're going to get one. I think that's going to sell out for sure. And that's the day when we set up our camera gear.
Yep.
And what we were just talking about, me and the rat, is that we're going to get that stuff set up on time so that we can hopefully just have, like, when we're doing our practice runs, be filming the combine going on right down there. It's so cool. They bring in the combine guys that, you know, we're just in Indianapolis last week.
Oh,
we're
going
to be here this week using the same technology, same everything.
What about CJ Kane, the villain? Is his squad lined up? One of those Columbine guys?
The villain, yeah.
The villain, is he on right now?
No, he helped me up later. I know. He loves you. He's listening. Sure. Yeah, CJ Kane's
I actually, CJ, I will give you a call later today. I do have to give you a call.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a good
okay,
guy.
So let's go to break, and we'll come back, and we'll wrap it up here with Coach and give them some time and make sure everyone knows what's going on and how you can kind of find this event and where you can watch this event.
Big announcement for next week. Big announcement for next week.
Yeah. We'll tell you about it on the other side too. It's a big one. You're going to want to hear it.
This is new.
What I'm telling you guys is that the cool thing about this year too, I can't stress it enough as a real estate guy, the location being in Boulder, Colorado, it makes it a reason to go pack your whole family up and travel, get a hotel, like make a weekend out of it. And when you're not at the facility doing football stuff, there's so much sweet stuff going on in Boulder.
There
has Pearl Street, the Hill, the campus.
Coach, there hasn't really been a role for me at this event, even though I'm super talented.
Shoot.
But hold on, I've been working on something real quick, okay?
Let's get that.
Oh, say, can you see? You got to help me here.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the Carl Lewis and screw it up.
I was. Eventually.
Oh.
Hey, we had an official last year hop on and see.
Oh,
that.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it good?
He was awesome.
All right.
Yeah, he did
good. Yeah, the whole thing, man. I mean, I'm telling you, this Boulder, Colorado is going to take it to the next level.
Danny, Jeff, Coach Z, and our guy Alex back on the other side. It's Miley Sports. Reporting live from the tallest building in Tokyo. Long way from them hallways. It was O's and O's. They counted always. Real fat all day. Now, baby, we can parlay. Oh, baby, we can party. She read books, especially about red rooms and town. Doing just fine before I met you. I drink too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Did you play this one because the roommate back in Boulder? Come on.
How'd you know?
Because I know you. Everything about you. My brother.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, if you leave your sweater in Boulder, like this song mentions, you can just pick up a Colorado Youth Football Invitational one. Dang, that is smooth right there. That quarter zip.
You're looking good.
We got new gear coming in this year too.
Well, Mandy and Cassie wouldn't let you be walking around looking like no slouch, right?
They
keep this thing world class.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been to a bunch of them around the region, the nation. And you've taken a little bit from each one and brought it to your own here. But I mean, who's doing it better than you guys at Colorado Youth Football Invitational?
I'm gonna just be very,
nobody.
Conservative. I'll be like, we do it really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this event is, you know, like, after the first year was a ton of success, obviously, you're running it back, and you're hoping that, you know, when we're old men, and it's the 25th anniversary, and they roll you out there, and we put your number, you know, in the rafters or something like that, wherever the 25th one at your guys' own complex.
Right, we're going to have our own facility.
We will have our own facility.
At some point. You know what I mean?
It'll be the second 100-yard indoor facility in the state of Colorado. The first one's in the Penner complex over there, Walmart. But we're gonna get the second one. I think we got to do it.
Full fill.
You're a Penner.
Thank you.
Okay, so what else here do we have to do
well
to make sure that we get coach and the event taken care of, and then we can talk about
one of the big announcements we were looking to make here is that you guys know that this year we're going to have like a pre-party. We're going to have an announcement party where we pair up. It's like a pairings party. We're going to pair up the coaches
at Bounce Empire
with the teams, right? There's 2 4th grade teams, 2 5th grade, 2 6th, 7th, and 8th, right? So we got 10 coaches. We got 10 teams. How do you pair them up? We're going to go ahead and do it the old duck race.
We do it the old duck races.
Whack, whack, yes, whack, hey, whack, whack.
What the duck does that mean?
Whoa, Danny. We're live on radio.
Yeah.
No, yeah, we're going to do the duck races. But first, how do we get, you know, our ducks? Well, we got to get our teams. We got our teams figured out.
Get your ducks in order.
And then it came time to get our coaches in order. Tell us about some of the coaches we got online, Coach Z.
So, man, we got Coach Micah Martinez out of Pinnacle, George Ramirez out of Fort Lupton, Jeremy Bennett from Mullen. Can't announce that guy yet. There will be a new coach being announced. I think we're on to our last two. Riverdale Ridge, Wayne Voorhees.
Yep, Wayne's
Boulder,
back.
Jesse Jones. Good to have a Boulder coach up there. Yeah. And meeting Jesse. I met Jesse at the Glazier Clinic. He's a monster of a man and just a great heart, great passion. It was awesome. Nice. Awesome to finally
coach
get
Coach Brayton's coming back, right? Speaking of coach, monsters of man.
Oh, my gosh.
NFL tight end.
Coach Tyler Brayton's coming back from Arapahoe and bringing his staff. They were pumped. I think he was the first one to commit when I sent out, hey, are you guys interested in coming back? And they were like, boom, it was great for us. Him and Jeremy Bennett, they were both into it. We got Northfield, which is a new coach, coming in with Coach Stratzer and his staff. Northfield turned around this last year. They had a great year. Gateway Coach Mason did a fantastic job with the kids.
Oh, Rashad's really great.
I do want to do a little plug for D'Evelyn's staff.
Shout it out.
So congratulations to Coach Anthony Rankin, who is now the head football coach at Green Mountain.
Yeah.
That is now public knowledge.
And our guys, Rico and Ramirez, are huge Green Mountain guys. Ramirez is number one Green Mountain supporter. Guys.
Yeah. So they already committed to coming as D'Evelyn. They're bringing the D'Evelyn staff. And some of the guys will stay at D'Evelyn this next year, and some of them will go with him to Green Mountain. That's how it works.
But
they're
coming. Do you have one?
They just opened up the job yesterday.
Okay.
Yep. So it's wide open.
Should we put a
Coach Martinez? You thinking about running that show?
I don't know if I have enough time, man.
Yeah, I know. No doubt. Well, you're already running this show here.
That'd probably be a pretty good little operation over there. They got some talent.
They're smart kids.
School. I love that school.
And the great thing about these coaches,
I really like that school a lot.
Is they're there because they love football and they love the kids, man. They love, you know, trying to teach these kids. One of my favorite parts was setting up the day before and watching these coaches practice with kids they never met. They met them for the third time in their lives. Yep. And they're just treating them with the same love and respect and admiration that they coached their high school kids with and that they were coached with when they were coming through high school. It's really fun to see that the elder coaches are giving back to the youth like this, and it's for the love of the game.
It's awesome. They do it for the right reasons. They really are doing it for the right reasons. And, you know, it's no knock on our youth coaches that help develop these young guys. We get youth coaches all the time. Like, hey, coach, I want to coach in it. What do I need to do to coach in it? I'm like, we turn this over. It's all high school. And that's one of the things the parents love the most about it is that we have high school coaches with their program and their staff coming in to run those things. It's a time for them to sit back and be proud of those kids.
Yeah.
You know, so it's pretty cool.
I think for the kids, those things are such cool events and opportunities to see other kids as good as you, as talented as you, push you a little bit, make you work hard, show love to some of the other athletes and stuff like that. I think it's really cool.
It's really awesome. Like Cassie does a fantastic job with social media, and we got guys posting on. We got kids working out, like preparing for CYFI, and they're going to town.
That's cool.
You know, you just seeing those kids and how they're developing and growing. But the next thing is when they show up, they got to show out. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. You can have the best kid on the field. And if he turtles up a little bit, he kind of gets overlooked. Cause now you're not just the best kid on the field.
And
you got multiple.
And when you get done with the game and they're calling you Mr. 6TD Theo Lee or something like that, you know what I mean? When you got guys out there that you just can't stop saying your name out loud over and over and you get to watch it again and again on the YouTube, it's something different how it's worked out, but it all has to do with, honestly, you and Mandy, Chris, and Cassie, and all the folks that put in the hard work behind, even the parent, you know, there's one for each grade. It's incredible. And it's fun. We're adding new things. I think we're going to be able to get that combine on or at least have some kids running. We won't have graphics and all that, but you can at least tune in live and see that on the YouTube channel. And then Also next Thursday on the YouTube channel, we're going to run it. Yeah, where's it
going
to be at? Tell them
where
to find us.
We're going to Platte River Bar and Grill.
Right there on Santa
Fe. We're
going
to do a live show. The theory of it, the look behind it is like the coaches show, like the old Mike Shanahan show.
Yeah, we want to meet some guys.
You know, and hopefully we're going to have a few coaches show up. Hopefully we get a few more. Maybe some parents and players will show up. We could do like little quick 1 or 2 minute interviews. We're going to do it live. We'll announce some teams. The team announcements and their jersey numbers are actually coming out on Tuesday. So get ready for that. Your official teams that you will be on will come out on Tuesday.
Is it true that Christian McCaffrey will be stopping by to make a surprise appearance, or is that just rumor stuff I heard on Twitter?
I think that's rumor stuff right now. But
what about Luke McCaffrey? Luke McCaffrey? Can we get, what about Max?
Luke
beat out Max?
Luke beat out Christian's 40 times.
Hey, I heard Mr. Sanders is going to be there. Mr. Sanders.
Prime?
Emmanuel. All right. Gotcha. Made you think.
Emmanuel will be there.
Yeah.
He believed.
Yeah.
His son's a stud.
He believed. Oh, yeah. Emmanuel? Just saw him this weekend. He's a good dude.
Colorado Youth.
Princeton is sweet.
Footballinvitational.com. It's just spelled out easy enough. Colorado Youth Footballinvitational.com. That's where you get your tickets. We'd suggest getting those. Hotels, is there, you know, there's still a couple open? Or
there might be a few left
open. Might
got
to go to get one in Broomfield or Louisville?
You might have to go all the way down to Denver. No.
What about room 112? Is that where the players dwell still?
112? Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I got you. Need to come
that's a throwback.
Yeah. Come find out.
We took up 4 hotels.
I think how about you come join us at the Platte River thing? If you can handle that, maybe we'll give you something bigger to do, you know, like the anthem.
Yeah, sure.
So again, at Platte River, what we'll do is everything will be live streamed. Like, everything will be out there. We'll have the YouTube channel going, so you'll be able to plug in. If you can't be on site to come and watch, you can get on the YouTube channel and watch it all and see how it unfolds and see which team lines up, which high school and which high school coach and their staff lines up with your team.
Yeah, it's cool. It's totally random, so there's no funny business. No one's like, you paired him up with that guy.
What's the website one more time?
Colorado Youth Football Invitational.
It's just that easy, right?
.com.
Hey, Coach, we appreciate you. Let's get you back in the rotation here.
Appreciate you guys.
Let's go do a little post game. Jeff has to go, but, you know, I'm down for a little post game or something like that, too. So
the big day for the games is March 24th, Sunday, March 24th. Five games in one day.
Coach Z, our guy Alex Becker, he runs the show. Look at that ring. It's sweet.
Damn.
For Jeff Gersh, I am Danny Williams. We appreciate you guys, and we love you guys. Good night, Sheila.
I'll never forget that ring.
Thank you, Sheila.
Bye, Terry.
Bye, Sheila. I'll never forget tonight.
Bye, Terry.
All right, Al, whatever. Go inside. Bye, Sheila. See you, Terry. Bye, Sheila.
Bye, Terry. Bye, Sheila. I'm out the window
through the city. I'm a new slow cutback, snapback. See my cut through the holes. Damn, easy and